2 Corinthians chapter 6. It was the love of Christ that motivated the Apostle Paul and ought to motivate us this evening. 2 Corinthians 6, we're going to look at some of the things that the Apostle Paul went through. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14, he says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And it's important to be reminded of really the motivation in our lives as Christians, and that is the love of Christ and what he has done. And we're going to look at a number of things the Apostle Paul went through as he was a minister of God. And why was he able to go through these things? Well, it was the love of Christ that was motivating him. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 4, the Word of God states, "But in all things," actually I should probably back up one verse, "giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God." And that's the next couple of verses, really what they're all about, "in all things approving." To approve is to provide evidence of a personal characteristic or claim through action, to demonstrate, to show, to bring out. All right, so to provide evidence of a personal characteristic or claim through some sort of action. All right, and what is he demonstrating? What claim is he making? Well, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. What's a minister? Well, a minister is really the word here is the word to be a servant. I believe it's the same word that the word deacon is translated from. As a servant of God, we're serving God. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted to demonstrate through his life, that he was a minister, that he was a servant of God. And our lives ought to demonstrate that. Really, these next couple of verses are very challenging. If you look at the Apostle Paul and what he went through and how he said, in all things, approving or demonstrating, providing evidence that we are the ministers, the servants of God. You know, people are out there and you make a claim that you are something and they want to see evidence that you are what you claim to be. You could say that you are, you know, a great basketball player. And maybe you could go out there and you can't hit one free throw. Well, you don't have much evidence to demonstrate the fact that you are a great basketball player. And it says here, in all things, in everything, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. He goes through a list of things. The first one, it says, is in much patience. All right, so the word patience, it the capacity to hold out or bear up in the face of difficulty. All right, the capacity to hold out or bear up in the face of difficulty. It could be the idea of endurance or steadfastness, perseverance. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13, the Word of God says, you know, quit you like men. It says, be strong. Actually, let me just read the whole verse here. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. The idea is to act like a man. You know, that endurance, not just giving up. You know, we live in a day in which, you know, people easily quit when the going gets tough. But as a minister, a real servant of God, one who is demonstrating themselves as a servant of God, is somebody who is going to persevere in the trials of life. And you look at the Apostle Paul, he was not one that quit. If anyone had an excuse to quit, in the ministry because of hardships that he faced is the Apostle Paul. He went through a number of things. But notice the adjective here that's put on. It says, in what? In much patience. You know, it takes what? It takes a lot of endurance. It takes a lot of patience. It takes perseverance to approve ourselves, to evidence ourselves as a true minister of God, as a true minister of the gospel. As the Lord prepared Joshua to be the leader of Israel, what did he say? And you read Joshua chapter 1, be what? Be strong and of a good courage. You know, it's going to take courage. It's going to take strength to go forward and to be the leader. If thou faint, Proverbs 24:10, in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. A minister of God is one who is steadfast, who is not going to easily give in to the trials of life, to what is going on. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, the word steadfast is not the same as the word patient, but I think it has some similar ideas. You know, the word steadfast being firmly or solidly in place, being steadfast. You know, is there that patience? Is there that endurance in your life? You know, when something goes wrong, what is your response? And if we're going to demonstrate ourselves as the ministers of God, the Apostle Paul says it requires much patience. And in his life, for him to continue to go forward, to continue to go throughout the many countries that he went through in preaching the gospel, it took much patience. It took great endurance. It took perseverance going on. You know, young people, you can practice that right now in your lives. You know, your parents give you a job to do. What do? You know, it gets a little bit tough. What is your first response? I can't do it. You know, you quit. You know, maybe you're on the op staff at Camp Joy. Mr. Apple gives you a tough job. You know, get all those dandelions picked. I don't want to see one dandelion anywhere. You know, I don't know. You know, what do? Do you quit or do you keep going forward? And you know, in those small areas of life, learn to demonstrate endurance so that when those larger areas come of trial, you are ready. Your character has been molded to go forward and not to quit. You know, sometimes certain, you know, people, the going gets tough. And they what? They give out. And what happens? Well, their family what? You know, their family pays for their lack of patience, their lack of endurance. You know, what happens when a trial comes? When someone mocks you? When you get a door slammed in your face? You know, the flesh is what? The flesh is looking for an opportunity to quit. But someone who is behaving in a manner that is befitting to a minister of God will press on, will continue to go forward. You know, our flesh always wants some excuse to give up, to be able to stop. And we live in a day of excuses. And don't give in. Have some patience. But secondly, he says, in much patience. And then he says, in afflictions. And really, patience is required for affliction. The idea of afflictions is trials or distress that is brought about by outward circumstances. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, he uses this same word. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. All right, there's the idea here of afflictions. Of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. So he says, for he was experiencing trouble, all right, distress that is brought about by outward circumstances. And you know, our missionaries, what? They face afflictions. They can face distressing situations. And what was the response of the people? Well, verse 11, he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And you know, we can face afflictions, but those that are ministering the gospel are going to be facing afflictions, and we can help the afflictions that they are facing by what? By prayer. So distress that is brought about, a minister that is approving himself as a minister of God is one that is going to bear up under afflictions. He's going to have afflictions, and what shall those afflictions do? Well, it should cause us, as it talks about in verse number 9, should cause us to turn to God. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You know, that distress that you face because of outward circumstances that you are in, that are troubling, does it cause you to turn to God? You know, in those situations, we need to what? We need to prove ourselves. We need to evidence ourselves as ministers of God. Then the next one that he comes to, necessities. All right? Distresses that arose from things that were needed. You know, daily necessities of life. Over in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Now, he's not referring to whatever state he was in, like whether he was in Wisconsin or Alabama, all right? But he's referring to the condition of his life. All right, whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, happy with the circumstances, joyful in the circumstances that God had put him in. He says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to what? And to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, there were times in the Apostle Paul's life that he was without the necessities of life. Now, there's not too many times that we've faced that in our lives. Now, there can be. I mean, maybe with food, I think most of us don't have too much problem with that. But, you know, how do you act maybe when you haven't had enough sleep? Because of maybe circumstances that you're in and you're lacking sleep. You know, the Apostle Paul probably had times where he was without sleep or without food, and maybe not because of unavoidable circumstances that he was in. You know, without the necessities of life. But he was what? He demonstrated through those that he was a minister of God. And how did he demonstrate that? Well, what did he say in Philippians chapter 4? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to what? To be content. You know, are you a contented Christian tonight? Are you content in the circumstances of life that maybe God has chosen for you? Thankfulness. Approving ourselves as ministers of God even in times of necessities. Maybe distress that is brought about because we are without something necessary in life. You know, you find with young children, when can you have behavioral problems with kids? Well, when they're without two things. When they're without sleep and they're without food. You know, when can adults have issues? When they're without sleep and when they're without food. And you know, we would think that we're old enough now, you're an adult, you know, not to have problems when those two things happen. But you still do. And the Apostle Paul is saying, in those circumstances, you're without that, those necessities of life. You know, maybe you're a parent and you may be suffering from a lack of sleep. You know, or maybe you've had a long day at work and you come home and maybe the kids are a little bit out of hand that night. Or maybe they're just jumping all over you. You know, and how are you going to respond? And, you know, as believers, we need to show ourselves as approving ourselves as the minister of God. You know, the outside world is watching to see how we respond and what kind of a testimony are we giving. In verse number 3, he says, giving no offense in anything that the what? That the ministry be not blamed. You know, the devil is looking for opportunities to bring reproach to the name of Christ. And he's going to use situations when we are without maybe necessary things of life to turn us against the Lord or to ruin the testimony that we have for God. And then the next word, some of these kind of work together somewhat, but he says in necessities, and then he goes to in distresses. This is the idea, is a narrow place. Barnes in his commentary quoted someone else, I believe. He says, the anxiety and distress of mind which a man experiences who is pressed on every side by afflictions and trials and want or by punishment and who does not know where he may turn himself to find relief. So being in a narrow spot just feels like you can't turn anywhere. There's nowhere to go for help. Maybe you feel like you are in a helpless situation. I mean, this is maybe a little bit more of a lighthearted example, but in the last week we were on a little over a week ago, on the family camp, and it was Saturday, and we went back into the Amish country some. Well, I'm driving along, and I just feel like the van's, you know, pulling to the right, and it's like I had to hold the wheel kind of to keep it going down the road. And eventually we stopped at an Amish place, and I was going to look in their greenhouse there. And I looked at the tire. Well, it was hot, and it was super hot. And I'm wondering, okay, what am I going to do here? You know, what's wrong? I didn't know what was wrong with the van. I mean, last fall, I had, you know, front brake work done on it. And you know, maybe made the mistake of asking the Amish boy there if he knew, like, the closest mechanic shop. Well, you know, I don't think, obviously, they're not going to have too many cars to work on. But, you know, then, you know, you're out in the, this is like a couple miles off of 33, I think. And not in the normal Amish area. No cell phone coverage. Obviously, they don't have a phone. And, you know, I could maybe walk down to one of these farms somewhere. And, you know, we just had to sit there and pray and ask the Lord to do something, because I didn't know what to do. And we waited there for a while, and eventually some people showed up that were pulled in there that were from an area town, Norwalk, and able to talk to him a little bit, and he kind of, you know, I think figured out what the problem was. And we waited for a while, let it cool down, and make a long story short, we were able to make it home, and the Lord brought us home. But you know, you get in those circumstances where it's like, what do? Nowhere to turn. It can be something a lot more serious than your vehicle breaking down. You know, how do you respond? You know, Josh probably would remember this, and I've used this illustration before, but we were at Camp Joy, and it was either the first or the second tower in the back. And I think it might have been the second tower. And anyways, there was some big holes to put the big telephone poles down in for the tower. And, you know, I think Josh might have pulled Cliff's hat off or something and tossed it to me, or I don't know if we threw it back and forth or Well, Cliff didn't like that too much, and he took us and he put us upside down, both of us, upside down in one hole. Well, you want to feel like you are in a completely helpless situation. I mean, there was nothing we could do. You're upside down in a hole, two guys. I mean, we were a lot smaller back then, but I mean, I can still kind of remember. It's just like you are completely helpless, and you're upside down to make matters worse. And what do you do? And there's just nothing you can do. I mean, you're at the complete mercy, really, of the person that put you upside down in the hole. And I mean, hopefully somebody maybe else is close by if we yelled loud enough. But that you want to feel helpless, have somebody do that to you. But what happens when you are in those distresses? I mean, the Apostle Paul was in situations, you know, probably a lot worse than what we face, where there was nowhere to turn, nothing to do. You know, there was one place he could turn, and that was to the Lord. You know, it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35, it uses this word again. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" It says, "Shall tribulation," and then he uses the word, "or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword." You know, there is what? Later on, he says in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And you know, no matter what circumstances, you know, no matter what distressing circumstance we are going through, even when it feels like we are in a narrow place with nowhere to turn, there is one who we are not separated from, and one that we can always turn to. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who demonstrated his love by dying on the cross for our sins. So, distresses. Then the next word that he mentions here, in distresses, in stripes. The Apostle Paul literally had to endure stripes, getting beaten for the sake of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." He says, "In labors more abundant." And he mentions his labors later on in the passage. "In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." You know, can you imagine getting those stripes? You know, getting those whips with those things on them and just ripping in to your skin. You know, most of us, after a few of them, would probably be ready to give up. But the Apostle Paul, what? Realized the calling that God had upon his life and was approving himself as a minister of God. If you turn over to Acts chapter 16, where it talks about when he was beaten at Philippi. Acts chapter 16. In verse number 23. And it should begin in verse 22. It says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." So here they have these wounds on them. They're bleeding, thrown into this prison. Notice verse 20. And just a little more background, you skip down a little bit further. What does it say? in verse number 33, after the earthquake, after all the Philippian jailer was saved, verse number 33, it says, and he took them the same hour of the night, and what does he say? And washed their stripes. You know, so they were what? They were thrown in this jail. How? I mean, they didn't have their wounds cleaned. They were just thrown in there. And what were they doing? Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What was he doing? He was approving himself as a minister of God. Here they had just been beaten, thrown into jail because they were preaching the gospel, you know, because they were, this girl had gotten saved, given her life over to Christ, and now there was going to be some people that weren't going to get their, you know, evil money from the practice that they were making money off of, and now they're mad. They get thrown into jail for doing what's right, for preaching the word of God, and they receive these stripes, they have wounds, they're bleeding. You know, who knows how they looked, probably somewhat gruesome, all the blood all over their bodies. And what do they find themselves doing? Praying and saying praises unto God. You know, how do we respond in these types of situations? Do we pray? Do we sing praises unto God? I mean, no one cared about them, threw them in the prison, you know, but they responded correctly. The jailer was saved, and then they had what? Somebody to what? Wash their wounds. But what did Paul have to do? You know, imagine if Paul would have responded differently. Would have been in that prison, you know, complaining, angry at what had happened. You know, why did you do this to us, Lord? Why did you allow this to happen? You know, do you think the Philippian jailer would have gotten saved that night? Do you think that he would have been there to wash his wounds? Now, obviously, God worked a great miracle that night, but what did the Apostle Paul, what did Silas do? They approved themselves. They gave evidence that they were the ministers of God. And it ties right into the next word. It says, in imprisonments. You know, Paul was imprisoned, but he responded in a way that showed he was a minister of God. You think of Georgie Vins as he was cast into prison. He talks about the time where they wanted him to die. And so they put him in a prison cell with all these wicked men. And I think they even told the men some bad things about Georgie Vins. And Georgie Vins got in there and he was tired, just needed some sleep. And, you know, these men were starting to ask him some questions. And I think they wanted to basically him to prove that he was who he said he was, because I think probably the people of the prison had lied to them about who he was. That he was only, you know, that he wasn't in jail because he was a preacher, but I think they probably said he was in jail for something else. And anyways, they said, prove it to him. Well, he had this little, you know, gospel of Mark that was very precious to him. And something, you know, that he wanted, you know, really wanted to hang on to. But in this situation, you know, he brought it out, I think, and gave it to the men, and the Lord worked. And I think the men sat up all night, you know, reading that gospel of Mark. And I think the people in the prison were surprised that he was still alive, you know, that he was just fine, or at least that he was fine in the morning. But approving yourself, even in times of, in the Apostle Paul's life, in imprisonments. And then the next word he comes to is in tumults. In an unsettled state of affairs. If you go to when the Apostle Paul was in Ephesus, and there was a great uproar in the city. Why? Because they were worshiping, you know, this goddess. And, you know, if people responded to what the Apostle Paul was preaching, the idol makers weren't going to what? Well, they were going to stop making money. And there's going to be a tumult. You know, when you get into the depths of sin sometimes, and people are going to lose out on money because of what's happening, you know, there can be some tumultuous situations that arise. You think of Thomas and James last week and where they, you know, went witnessing. And, you know, you can make some tumult, so to speak, when you are standing up for what's right and when you're seeking to be a witness. And this is what will happen when you are on the forefront of the battle with sin in our society. And what, how do we need to respond? You know, maybe somebody starts yelling at us because you're seeking to preach the gospel or seeking to, you know, maybe give out a tract or whatever. How do you respond in these unsettled state of affairs? Do you give out? Do you respond with tumult yourself? There's a requirement to what? To approve ourselves as a minister of God. And Paul kept going, didn't quit, faced these tumultuous situations, but he kept going for the Lord. Then he says, in labors. I better get back to the passage myself here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in stripes and imprisonments, in tumults, in labors. Giving out the gospel, being a minister of God, was not something that the Apostle Paul could just sit back in his recliner and put his feet up on the chair, so to speak, and take it easy. You know, he had to work hard. Not only was he laboring the gospel, but the Apostle Paul was also what? Laboring to help support himself as well. And he had to what? Continue to press on for the Lord in these labors to approve himself as a minister of God. You know, are you one that gives in easily, gives up, the going gets tough, and yet you give out? Or in your labors, are you approving yourself as a minister of God? Then he says in watchings. Now, we've referred to this earlier, but the idea of watching would be, late nights, maybe a lack of sleep. And how did he respond? Well, the Apostle Paul kept pressing forward for the Lord. And you think of the time where they were preaching, late at night. And the man, fell out of the window as he fell asleep. Well, maybe he fell asleep because there was lights on and he's up in the top. And who knows if the fumes up there helped put him to sleep as well. But, the Apostle Paul, who knows how late he was up that night, and other nights, but in watchings, he continued to press forward for the Lord. Then in fastings, there was times, again, he talks about necessities, fastings here, could be voluntary times of going without food. They could be possibly times where he had no other choice but to go without food. But the Apostle Paul continued to press forward. You know, what a challenge these things are in our lives. You know, in our society, now things that are changing, but in a sense, how easy we have it, but yet how little we do. And may these verses tonight be a challenge in our lives. May we ask ourselves the question, how much are we demonstrating ourselves to be the servants of God? You know, is there an area of life where there's been a lack of patience, a lack of endurance? Is there some distressing situation that you've been facing? You've just kind of given up? You know, I don't think there's anybody in here that's been receiving stripes for the gospel, or has been imprisoned recently because they've been preaching the gospel. You know, and what a shame it is for us when we give out in some of the much easier situations that we face. You know, how do we act when we're in that situation where we haven't gotten sleep, or we haven't eaten, or some other situation arises in our life? Do we respond as someone who is a servant of God? Or do we respond in the flesh? And what's the problem with responding in the flesh? Well, verse number 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You know, there's going to be, our lives ought to be a testimony to the gospel and to what the Lord Jesus Christ can accomplish. You know, people ought to see a difference in our lives. And that difference ought to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what circumstance we are in, we ought to be evidencing the self that, you know what, we are a servant of God. We are under His orders. You know, we are under His leadership. You know, it doesn't matter what we're going to face, we're going to stay faithful to Him. You know, the starting point is salvation. When we recognize our need of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can save our souls except for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And as we, once we're saved, as we think back of what Jesus Christ has done for us, it ought to keep us going in no matter what circumstance of life we are facing. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that You would help us to, in all things, approve ourselves as the ministers of God, as the servants, as Your servants. Lord, that our lives would not give an offense or something that would cause somebody to stumble, something that would cause somebody to turn from the message of salvation. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, no one looking around, the first question is, are you saved? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Repented of your sin and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anyone tonight that say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord's working in my life about my need of salvation? Is there anyone like that tonight? I wonder tonight, are there any believers the Lord is working in your life? Maybe it's a trial. Maybe it's a distressing situation. You know, maybe when you go without some of the necessities of life, maybe there's some endurance. We mentioned a number of areas tonight. You know, maybe there's an area that you've kind of given up on in life. And the Lord's working in your life tonight about that area, and you really want to surrender that to Him so that your life will not be a stumbling block to the gospel going forth, so that you can demonstrate yourself as a real servant of God tonight. Is there anyone like that? The Lord's working in your life in some area? All right, you can put those hands down. Is there anyone else tonight? All right, let's bow in prayer. Lord, we just pray that You would continue to work in our hearts. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, may You strengthen us. Lord, may You strengthen each one tonight that has raised their hand. And Lord, give them the victory, Lord, in this situation of life that they are facing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.